This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Former President Donald Trump's hush money trial begins with opening statements. And big tech is facing a test after the Magnificent Seven stocks lost nearly $1 trillion in combined market value.
We've had three bad inflation reports in a row. People on Wall Street are starting to get skittish. Bond yields are backing up higher, and that's causing a problem for the whole stock market, especially big tech.
Plus, Israel's military intelligence chief resigns over the Hamas attack on October 7th. It's Monday, April 22nd. I'm Sabrina Siddiqui for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that move the world today. A Manhattan prosecutor told jurors today that Donald Trump orchestrated a criminal scheme to sway the 2016 election. But the former president's lawyer countered that there is nothing wrong with trying to influence voters. Those competing narratives are part of the opening statements that kicked off Trump's hush money trial in Manhattan, in which he faces 34 felony counts of falsifying business records for allegedly covering up a payment to porn star Stormy Daniels. Prosecutors have argued Trump sought to remove negative stories, including Daniels' allegations of an affair, in order to influence the 2016 election. Trump has pleaded not guilty and denied the sexual encounter. Separately, Trump's lawyers agreed to put tighter restrictions on the $175 million bond that the former president obtained to protect his assets while he appeals a New York civil fraud judgment. Trump's bond got a closer inspection from Justice Arthur Engoron at a hearing this morning in a civil courthouse around the block from where the hush money payment trial was underway. An energy startup is getting a big boost from investors that include Sam Altman, the face of the artificial intelligence boom. Altman and venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz are among the investors putting $20 million into Exawatt, a company launched to tackle the clean energy needs of big data centers. Altman has been increasingly vocal about the energy needs of the AI industry. Amrit Ramkumar, The Wall Street Journal's climate finance reporter, says that electricity is a flashpoint for the AI industry.
The problem has really overtaken the entire energy industry. We're about 4 months into 2024, and already pretty much every notable utility and energy firm is talking about the insatiable electricity demand from data centers. We've also seen some utilities now saying, we need to keep our natural gas and coal plants on, otherwise we can't meet this demand. It's a huge problem, and even big companies like Amazon, Microsoft, OpenAI, which has a CEO, Sam Altman, that's invested in Exawatt, they're super worried because the big pinch point on AI models, they say, is getting cheap, clean electricity. Forget the clean, too, just cheap electricity that can power all these models and all these data centers. It's pretty hard to overstate. It's the biggest theme in clean energy world right now.
Amrit says that while investing in Exawatt is not the only bet for Altman in trying to secure energy for his project, it is a significant one.
Altman's investment is a big deal, even though it's a small dollar amount, because he's the face of the AI boom, and people are following anything he says or does as a signal to where the industry might go next. Altman has invested in nuclear fusion and fission startups in the past. They're called Helion and Oklo, and he's actually trying to take Oklo public right now. But those nuclear bets are seen as many years away. Exawatt is saying that this is existing technology that can be deployed this year and grow really quickly because it's really simple and is, again, super laser-focused on reducing costs and data centers.
The Wall Street Journal's climate finance reporter, Amrit Ramkumar, spoke to the Tech News Briefing podcast. Coming up, big tech faces an earnings test this week after a market slide. That's after the break.
Join the Wall Street Journal at the Future of Everything Festival on May 21st to 23rd in New York City, where diverse global newsmakers share unique perspectives on navigating a changing world. Immerse yourself in live performances, explore pioneering technologies, and indulge in the city's inventive culinary scene. As a podcast listener, enjoy 20% off current ticket rates with code PODCAST. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.
Big tech is facing a test after the so-called Magnificent Seven stocks lost nearly $1 trillion in combined market value last week, the largest dollar loss on record. Microsoft fell 5.4% last week, its weakest since January 2023, while Nvidia had its worst week since September 2022. Earnings this week from several Magnificent Seven companies, including Tesla and Microsoft, will mark the next chance for stocks to regain their footing. The Wall Street Journal's banking reporter, Charlie Grant, joins me now to discuss. Charlie, what was behind last week's losses?
The big problem in the market right now is interest rates. Tech stocks and broader stock market did great in the first half of the year, last 2 months of 2023, in large part because investors thought the central bank had whipped inflation finally, and we were getting ready to start cutting interest rates. Now we've had three bad inflation reports in a row. People on Wall Street are starting to get skittish. Bond yields are backing up higher, and that's causing a problem for the whole stock market, especially big tech.
And what are we expecting to hear from the companies reporting this week?
Well, earnings generally have been a bright spot for the Mag 7, which includes Microsoft, Tesla, Nvidia, Google, Facebook, all the most popular names in the stock market. Generally, these stocks have offered much better profit growth than the rest of the market. Microsoft is scheduled to report earnings on Thursday, and investors are looking for $2.82 a share in profit. A year ago, that number was $2.45, so they're looking for pretty good results. And so there's a lot of optimism about what's happening at these companies, but we'll see whether they can please investors who are suddenly in a much more skittish mood than they have been.
Why are the Mag 7's fortunes so significant?
Well, they are 29% of the S&P 500's market value. And of course, the S&P 500 has about 500 stocks in it. So seven stocks are accounting for nearly 30% of the action. So when they do well, it's a big deal for the whole market. And when they don't, it's a problem. And even if you don't own these stocks in your portfolio, it matters because it has such a big influence on where the S&P 500 is headed.
And what does the forecast look like moving forward for the tech sector?
Well, that's one of the strongest corners of the market. Information technology is expected to grow profits 20% this year, according to FactSet data. Communication services, which is a different sector of the S&P 500, but has Facebook and Google in it, that is expected to grow by 20% as well. And for the broader S&P 500, we're looking at a little less than 1%. So you have that superior profit growth, and then you have this variable from artificial intelligence enthusiasm, where people are expecting big things from this technology, but it's still not showing up in reported results. So investors are looking for a qualitative assessment on how that technology is coming through.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks for having me.
That was the Wall Street Journal's banking reporter, Charlie Grant. Kroger and Albertsons have agreed to sell over 160 additional stores in a divestiture package in a bid to appease competition regulators and close their long-pending merger. The company said today that under their revised deal with C&S Wholesale Grocers, they will now sell a total of 579 stores. The new agreement comes after the U.S. Federal Trade Commission sued to block Kroger's $25 billion acquisition of Albertsons. The agency argued the combination would lead to raised food prices and hurt workers' bargaining power. Regulators said in that suit that the divestiture plan didn't do enough. Israeli officials are working to head off potential U.S. sanctions against an Israeli military unit accused of human rights abuses. The possible U.S. measures illustrate growing American pressure on Israel over how it is prosecuting the war in Gaza, even while the Biden administration offers broad military support to its ally. Last week, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said in a press conference that the U.S. was deliberating whether to apply to Israel a law that prohibits U.S. aid to foreign security forces that have committed human rights violations and plan to announce results soon. Separately, Israel's military spy chief resigned today, becoming the first senior official to step down over intelligence failures that enabled the attack by Hamas on October 7th that sparked the war in Gaza. The resignation of Major General Ahoron Oliva, the head of the military's intelligence directorate, illustrates the growing sense among Israelis that change is required to win the war against Hamas. Iowa superstar and WNBA draft first pick Caitlin Clark only gets a $76,000 starting salary next year. The number one pick in the NBA draft, Victor Wembanyama, base pay is over $12 million. What questions do you have about the pay disparity between men's and women's pro sports? Send us a note, or even better, record a voice memo on your phone and send it to wnpod@wsj.com. That's wnpod@wsj.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 212-416-4328. Just be sure to include your name and location because we might use it on the show. And finally, do you feel like you don't spend enough time with your friends? If so, you're not alone. I often wish for more FaceTime with my buddies too. And while texting might seem like an insufficient way to keep up with your friends, relationship experts say we really can benefit from these quick exchanges if we do them right. Wall Street Journal columnist Elizabeth Bernstein explains.
The takeaway is we need to stay in touch in between meeting up, but also we need to make those little interactions meaningful in some way. That's what the key is. If you're sending off a meme that you could send to 20 other people, I could send this same little joke to everybody I know and they might chuckle a little, I'm not really connecting with you. What is good is sharing a memory, sharing a joke, reminding your friend you're thinking of them. Hey, you know what? I just wrote this thing at work and it reminded me of that time you said X. That was hilarious. Remember that? You're trying to hit on something about your friend, about your friendship, about you. You want to make it personal. That's a really big part of it.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. Today's show was produced by Anthony Bansi and Pierre Bienname with supervising producer Michael Kosmides. I'm Sabrina Siddiqui for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back with a new show tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening.